All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our Link 2013 monitoring session, or how to get the most out of the monitoring service data. So my name is Saša Juratović. I'm a senior program manager. I've been with Microsoft since 2001, joined MCS, Microsoft Consulting Services, back in UK, where I worked mostly on a messaging and unified communication products. And then 4.5 years later, I've joined product group, LCS at the time, and I've been in the product room since, so part of the Skype division now. So I've been working with our unified or Microsoft unified communication applications, products, for quite some time, including messaging, last 15 years. I'm based in EMEA, Switzerland-based, so that's kind of my business background. In a free time, joining good barbecue, some good beer, and trying to play as much as possible tennis and skiing to keep myself fit. And with me, I have Jens today.
So my name is Jens Trier Rasmussen. I've been with Microsoft now for 15 years, so I just had my 15 years anniversary. I have basically the same background as Sasha, so working with messaging, Exchange, X400, UUCP, and all that kind of old stuff. And then I joined Microsoft, and first MCS, and then in the Blink product group. And I've always been in the same team as Sasha. So we both report into the Skype division and have a manager in Redmond. And I'm based out of Copenhagen, Denmark. And I enjoy food and good wine. And because of that, I need to do exercise. So I play table tennis and do some cycling to try to keep me fit.
All right.
And I walk to the 11th floor of the hotel each morning.
Good for you, Jens. Alrighty, so what are we going to cover today? So what are the session objectives and the takeaways? So really, we would like to describe you the importance of running monitoring service, hopefully. So first of all, a show of hands, how many of you are running Link 2010 or 2013? Okay, great. Keep the hands up if you are running also monitoring server as well. Okay, bit less hands, but still very, very good. Excellent. So for those of you that are running, hopefully are already understanding some benefits. For those of you that don't, this is one of the components that we are always recommending customers to deploy. So in this session, we are going to cover why do you want to deploy monitoring reporting server. We are going to cover what kind of a data you can find in a databases. We are going to explain how do you use this data in proactive, how you use this data in a reactive way, how do you use this data to troubleshoot things. So all of that would be the focus of the session. We are going to do and split the session in really two parts. So in the first part, I'm going to cover some, let's say, basics. So I'm going to introduce, for those of you that are not familiar, that familiar with the product or component specifically, I'm going to cover a bit of what it is, what kind of a data do we capture, what kind of out-of-the-box experience do you get, how you deploy it, how you install it, all of this goodness. And then in the second part of the session, Jens is going to take over and he's going to talk about some more specific scenarios, like how do you use the data that is inside that we are capturing for some troubleshooting, more specifically some voice troubleshooting purposes. So as I said, let's drill into the foundations. And really to kick it off or to start with it, I really would like to do an analogy. And it goes like this. So we are all humans in our day-to-day life. We are hopefully well, and we are trying to keep that. However, every once in a while, we get sick. And on those occasions, we need to see the doctor, typically. Well, sometimes we can help ourselves because we kind of, from the past experience, we know what's happening. But on occasions, we need to go into the hospital. So when you go into the hospital, they admit you, and they wouldn't automatically start treating you without actually understanding what's happening with you. So, in other words, they will connect you to some machines, possibly admit you for the night or a bit longer. And then at the end of the data collection, so once they connect you to all of these machines, they will collect the data. And at the end, the doctor will come over and make basically read the data. And do a diagnosis and say, okay, this is what's happening with you, and this is the remedy, this is what we have to do in order to make you better. So now, kind of a fast forward into the IT world, into the world of bits and bytes. So in this world, more specifically in the link world, there is no such thing, let's take the link to the doctor. So what we have is monitoring server. We are collecting, and hopefully, when you deploy link in your environment, you will deploy a monitoring server at the same time. And what that does to your environment, from the moment you actually start running the monitoring server, it would start collecting the data about your link environment. So when and if something happens in your link environment, something goes bad, you have data already there that you can drill into, go into, to find out what's happening, and based on that, prescribe the medicine or go about making it better. So some basics here. So first of all, monitoring server, it's not new to Link 2013. It's a component that we had in the previous releases, so 2010 as well. What is new is that it's not a separate role anymore. What we've heard loud and clear from you guys, from our customers, is that having a large number of roles, it's just too complicated. It just requires too much hardware, which in turn increases the CapEx and operational expenditure as well. So you ask us, well, please reduce that. So what we've done in 2013, we're actually getting rid of monitoring server as a separate role. Now it's a core part of the product. It's a part of the front-end installation. So when you install actually the front-end by default, you would be installing bits for the monitoring server. It's a matter of actually enabling them and disabling them in a topology builder, as you will see in a moment. One thing that I wanted to actually, before I go on, two things I want to say. This is not a session where we would be describing actually link basics. So we kind of presume that you understand link basics, so this is a bit more advanced. The second thing is, if you have any other questions, please refrain from asking until the very end. We are going to try and keep last 10 to 15 minutes for a Q&A, so we have a lot to cover, so let's do the questions at the end. So that being said, as I said, it's not a separate role, which makes it easier for the people to install it, to deploy it, and configure it in the end. One of the other things that I wanted to say, so that's upper bit is about monitoring server. There is another set of bits and bytes, if you want, for the monitoring server reports. So once you install monitoring server, it's not automatically given that you're installing monitoring server reports. Monitoring server is about data collection, putting the data into the SQL. Monitoring server reports is about to giving you capabilities of leveraging this data out of the box. So we are leveraging SQL reporting services. We are providing you with a set of reports that you can use in order to see this data. So what's new in these server reports? Well, we are providing some new reports. We are providing enhancements, for the most part, enhancements when it comes to the performance. And then also, we are making easier for you to look into the video and application sharing data sessions as well. So how do you actually configure monitoring store? Well, as I said, once you deploy the product, the bits are there. It's a question of enabling them. To do that, you go into the topology builder, you go to the pool object, and then on the pool object, there is a checkbox, as you can see on the screen, that say, well, enable or disable. By default, this is disabled. So you have to check it out to enable it, and by that, you are actually enabling the system to monitor for two components, quality of experience, or QoE metrics, and CDR, or call detailed records. This session is mostly about QoE. CDR is something that we'll kind of touch on very, very briefly as well. So once you check that off, you have a couple of other settings to do. You have to decide what is the SQL server where the data eventually will be sent. So this is this drop-down. And then if you would like to enable SQL mirroring or enable our backend store for the high availability, you can do so by enabling this checkbox and then specifying a separate SQL instance. So once you define all of that, you simply publish it and deploy it. Once you publish in a deployed topology, what happens is the topology builder will actually enable all the relevant components, and it would also install SQL databases on the servers that you have specified on this screen. So one of the questions that we are also getting quite frequently is, okay, so that's all great. How many of those do I need? How many, more specifically, how many SQL stores where you are storing the data do I need? The simple answer is go with one. You would go with one because it's making life easier for you guys, for the IT pros that are managing those environments, and because if you do so, the data from all of the pools enabled for the monitoring server will be aggregated into the single SQL store. However, there are some exceptions, and you can see those exceptions here. So for example, if your deployment is really, really large, let's say 200,000 or more seats, then you would actually, for the performance typically reasons, you would deploy more. Another one is for compliance, legal and compliance reasons. So in some of the countries, data needs to stay in the country. And if you have a global deployment, then you might decide actually to have a copy in a country where that's a legal requirement, and maybe some other copies in the different countries. Then if you have a remote sites with the slow links, this is another example. As you will see, what happens is we are collecting the data that flies over the wire. So if you have a large number of users in the remote sites and a connection between the two is weak, well, that can be a problem. So that's another reason why to deploy it in a remote site. And then the last one called out here is if there is a requirement for some custom configuration. So that's a server bit. What about how do you deploy monitoring server reports? So that's even easier. So you start a setup, link setup, and when the deployment wizard comes up, there would be a splash screen, and one of the options would be, well, deploy monitoring server reports. Once you select the link, you specify a few parameters like database, like the instance of the SRSS. And when you do that, once you do that, the wizard will simply deploy server or report bits to the SQL reporting services. So at this point, you have installed monitoring server, you have installed monitoring server reports. How do you configure them? Well, there are two bits here. If you can recall from previous one of the previous slides, there are two components. We have a QoE and CDR component. Configuration-wise, this is a screenshot from the link control panel. You can configure this either through the UI that you can see here, or also through the PowerShell. That's another alternative. And you can see from the configuration that they are very, very similar in terms of what you can configure. So you enable disable monitoring or enable disable purging and the length of time that you are keeping the data. It's the same across CDR and QoE as well. And then the only exception probably here is for the CDR, you can also define the length of time to keep error reports. So at this point, you have deployed, you have configured. So what next? Okay, so when all of this is set up, here is the story. The data collection starts on a client. So the media, the clients that are media endpoints, and this is pretty much our all of our clients and also our some of our server components like AVMCU, like mediation server, like Edge, they are by default enabled to run a set of data that you can see on a screen at the end of each session. So imagine a situation where you have a call, audio call with somebody else, you hang up the call, what happens after that, the client, media component on a client, will be sending an XML blob via a SIP back to the pool, home pool for that specific user. And then through that pool, the data will eventually end up in a SQL database. Now the question is, what kind of a data? Well, it's extremely, I would say, a lot of data. It's a large quantity of data that we are sending. And this is just a sample, by the way. This is not all of it. This is just a small sample. You can see that we are sending a data about network, like jitter and a packet loss. So all of that is being sent out. And the best way to explore what is exactly being sent is if you, for example, on a link client, so as I was saying, example, you hang up a call on a link client, and then if you have enabled SIP logging, that hopefully you do for these purposes, then you open UCCP API log, client log, and then search for this VQ report event. So this is the event, right? So you would find it in a notepad or whatever, and this is where you would be able to see a large XML blob of data that we are sending across. So the data goes across the wire, as I was saying, from the client to the pool. So what's happening on the pool? Well, on a pool we have, I hope you can see this blue at the end, but this is a front-end server, important components of the front-end server. We have an agent or a set of agents that are talking to our new component, Link Storage Service. So those, for those of you familiar with how Link 2010 works, we are leveraging MSMQs. In Link 2013, that's not a case anymore. We're leveraging Link Storage Service to enable this scenario. We are enabling Exchange integration, Exchange 2013 integration with this new component, and we are also giving us opportunity to kind of make even more scenarios moving forward. So the request from the client comes to the front-end, specific front-end server in a pool. Responsibility of the UDC agent is really to capture this data and push it over to the Link Storage Server or service. Now, this Link Storage Service is obviously a piece of code, but a piece of code that also talks with the SQL Express. So when you deploy Link 2013 front-end server, by default, we are dropping a SQL Express. And one of the databases that we are keeping in a SQL Express is related to the Link Storage Service. So think of it as a temporary buffer between a pool or a front-end server and a SQL database where the data is eventually sent to. So in case when the network is down between the two, SQL Express will keep it. When the network is resumed, the data will be sent out. So very similar to MSMQ we had in 2010. Two additional things I would like to call out. We have a replication between all of the front ends in a pool for high availability purposes. So as we are writing the data into the SQL Express related to the what we are receiving to the client, we are replicating that to other front ends in a pool for high availability purposes. And this is where everything eventually ends. So as I was saying, we have a way to push the data to our SQL that we, if you remember from the previous slides, we have configured in a topology builder. So by using these CDR and KOE adapters, we are pushing the data that eventually ends up to the SQL. Okay, so this is how the data from the client goes to the pool and now goes to the server. Okay, now when it's on a SQL server, so what's happening there? Well, there are a few things I'd like to call out here. So first and foremost, what you have to be aware of, especially if you would like to develop some custom reports, then you have to be aware of this KOE database schema. We are documenting KOE and also CDR schema. You don't have to use that or be knowledgeable of that if you just want to use out-of-the-box reports. But sooner or later, maybe somebody will ask you, hey, can you pull a report on something that we don't support out-of-the-box? If that is the case, then you'll have to get familiar with the schema. Or your SQL, more than likely, somebody with the SQL knowledge in your organization would have to do that. The other thing is that eventually, when the SQL actually receives this data, an XML blob, what it does is really kind of unpackages that and send the data to a number of different tables. There are a large number of tables in both of the databases, in KOE and a CDR database. Specifically focusing here on a KOE, you can see three that we are calling out because they would be kind of a, this is something that we are using throughout this presentation. Also, Jens would be kind of using it to pull different data when he's doing his part of the session. The last one I would like to call out here, I've already mentioned that. We are receiving a large number of data from the clients, really, really large. What some of the more important elements are like caller, callee, user, agent type, and so on. And this is typically what you would be using when you're troubleshooting, when you're looking at the data. However, there is so much more. The point I'm trying to make here is that when somebody asks you, hey, can you actually pull this out of the KOE database? More than likely, the answer is yes. It doesn't mean that maybe we are providing a report out of the box, but by understanding the schema and by writing your custom SQL queries, you can certainly do that. This is more like a reference slide, really. The reason why we wanted to put it here is for you to understand. This is one of the kind of a frequent questions that we are getting. So there are a few things to understand here. So first of all, there is this media line table. It's one of the tables in a QoE database. And then there is a specific column called classified poor call. Now, this is a bit on and off, or one or zero, where under if conditions that you can see on these slides are met, we would classify a call as a poor, right? And how we do that? Well, we look at audio stream table, specifically at these columns in audio stream table, and then we logically OR them, meaning that if any of these conditions are met, we would flag the call as poor. And so this is obviously important when you see in the monitoring server reports that we are flagging something as a poor, that you know why we are doing that, where is it coming from.
What we just showed was for audio. We have similar for video and for application sharing. So classified poor calls with some different parameters for those two modalities.
Okay, so now we have our data in a SQL databases. Come on. Okay, here we go. So now we have a data in a SQL base, in a SQL databases, in a QoE and CDR databases. How do you actually look at this data? So as I was saying, going back, we have a set of out-of-the-box reports. When you deploy the reports, this is and hits the default page. Essentially, this is what you are getting. This is the splash screen that you are getting, monitoring reports. And you can see that this landing page is kind of a split up in four different sections. First section is talking about system usage reports. So this is something that you would typically use. We are seeing customers typically using when they would like to. So they have started Link deployment, and they would like to provide their management evidence of how Link is being used. So things like peer-to-peer activity summary reports, how many users have registered, conferencing summary reports, and so on. The second one is call diagnostic report per user. So this one is typically used when you have a help desk call, hey, something is wrong. Audio experience of my call was pretty bad. And you will see an example of that in a moment. Then the third section is call diagnostic reports. So this is really, at the end of each session, we are collecting some data, but we are also collecting diagnostic IDs, as you will see in a moment as well. And by classifying these diagnostic IDs, we can actually say about, something about summary, generally how we are doing in the environment. You can say about peer-to-peer conferencing join time, and so on. And then the last part, so this is more like maybe signaling part. The last part, media quality diagnostic reports. So this is the data we are also getting from the client in that XML blob I was telling you about, but this is more specific on and focused on media. And more specifically, again, some summary reports, and then media quality, server performance report. Some of that would be covered by Jens in a moment. Well, let me go back. If you, from this page, hit a dashboard, this is what you would get. So this is a monitoring dashboard view. And again, if you pay close attention, you would see, again, four different buckets. You would see a system usage bucket. You would see per user call diagnostic, and media quality diagnostic. This is like more in your face data. And we do that for the periods of time. By default, it's for the past 6 days, and then you can do it in a monthly view as well. And this is quite a nice indicator how we are doing in these specific categories. By the way, one of the things I have to say is some of you might think, ooh, it would be great if I can have X on this page, or Y. My management is asking for that. Can I actually change that? We don't support changing out-of-the-box reports. So you can't do that. You can write your own custom reports, but you can't change the existing ones. Okay, so now let me drill into how do you actually use. So you've seen some landing pages. You've seen the links, how you actually get to some specific reports. How do you use the data in one scenarios? I referred at the beginning, we do that typically in proactive and reactive way. This is first example of how we do that in a bit more reactive way. So The point here is that, or the scenario goes like this, better say. You go to help this call, and the user is complaining about voice quality, for example. And quite often that would be with a lot of emotions attached, but you really would like to have a hard evidence what's really happening. Users can be upset, give you a lot of details that are maybe possibly not relevant. You really would like to know what is the gist of the problem. So, fortunately, you're running monitoring server and you have monitoring server reports deployed. So how do you do that? So this really provides the objective view of user's experience. So if you remember from the landing page, one of the reports is user activity reports. So if you go to that one, you can see in the top part that you can specify some parameters, so some input into your query. So from the user would be typically saying you, hey, I had a bad experience. Hopefully he'll be able to narrow it down maybe to a specific day, time of a day, or maybe a specific week. And he will know, obviously, his CPURI, or you would be able to instruct him how to find it out. So you input all of that or some of that here, and then there is a button on the right-hand side where you say, hey, execute the report, and this is what you would get. So in this specific instance, there is a user for which we are, it's a sample, it's a test user, obviously, here, for which we are pulling this report. And out of four different peer-to-peer sessions, there is one that is specifically marked as bad. So green means it's good, red means it's not good, it's bad. From this page, you can also see from user to user, so you can narrow it down quite easily to the specific call or to the specific session that the user was complaining about. Now, on this specific page, what you would do next, you would click on the details here to find out why this call is marked as bad. And you would end up with a page like this, peer-to-peer session details report. So you have much more details on this screen on that specific session. You can see some session information, things like the pool, front-end pool that a user is home to. You can see specific front-end that actually reported the problem. You can see from user agent, to user agent, and so on. Quite a lot of actually session-related information. You can see it was an audio call. Modality is audio. And then in the bottom part, you can see diagnostic reports as well. You see that for this specific session, two events have happened. One is reported by the server, the other one by the client, and they are both marked as red. And from here, you would like to know, or you can drill into and see, well, what specifically really, what was the bottom line? What's really the problem here? Because you can't really see it from this page. You can see just it's marked as red, but you don't have a good understanding why. This is also a good point for me to introduce something that is not visible here. We have a hover over capabilities. So if you hover over with the mouse on a specific values in a page, typically when something is marked as red, if you hover over the mouse, it will give you a pop-up to explain to you what do we mean, what that value actually represents. So now we actually click on the details here, and this is the ultimate report or the diagnostic report that you would get. From here, you can see a few things. You can see first and foremost diagnostic header. So diagnostic header tells you much more what has happened. You can see that the routes available for this request but no available gateway. So in other words, we found a possible route for the call. However, when the front-end server tried to establish a session with the gateway, that failed. And that is actually reflected in this bottom part as well. So you can, if you follow the diagnostic header information, you would see some a bit more generic information to a bit more specific information. So we are at the end saying, hey, we're trying NextHop. This is the front-end server that is trying that. This is also some basic information about the call itself, like usage, like root, but also this is more importantly a gateway that we failed to connect to. So that's one of the examples. How would you do it? Reactively? This is getting into from reactively to proactively. So we are still. As you will see in a moment, we are still kind of focusing on the same report as a starting point, but then going in a different direction. And the bottom line here is, so user reported a poor quality call. That's okay. I mean, we want to help the user. We do that. But we also want to understand if that's a one-off or if there is a trend behind it. And it's probably more important to understand if there is a trend rather than just an incident, one-off incident. Because this is what you want to do as part of your really ongoing reactive usage of the system. You want really not only to use the system in a reactive way. Proactive is really something that we are recommending most customers to do. It's possibly not as easy, maybe not as straightforward, because you can go in a number of different ways. But as a part of this session, we are trying to help you out to kind of navigate through all of that. So we are trying to understand who else is impacted. Is it one-off or more users? We are trying to understand, okay, is this just something that happened today to maybe a large number of users or single user, or is that something that has been happening over the period of time? And then also, ultimately, you want to understand why is this happening. You want to find out the root cause for the problem so you can actually fix it. So this should be familiar from one of the previous slides. So on this page, we went to details to find out specific issue for that specific call. However, you can take a different route from here. You can say, okay, let me see what other calls have been reported with this specific diagnostic ID. Diagnostic ID is something that we, as you've seen, are reporting or client is sending as a part of the session. So if you click on diagnostic ID, you might or you will be presented with something like this. Hopefully you can see that from the back, but I'll try to explain it very quickly. So in this report, this is a top failures report. You can see first and foremost how many sessions have been reported with the specific diagnostic ID. And then you can see a bit more information. You can see it has been an invite request as opposed to a non-request. You can see some responses. You can see diagnostic IDs and so on. More importantly, what you can see is also a trend. You can see that for the top one, this is how we were trending. So it kind of gradually grew up. And then maybe over the time we've realized something was wrong. We've done something, and as a result of that, we hopefully cured the issue. We don't have an issue anymore. Likewise, you have a similar kind of a type of a graph at the bottom. Now, from this page, you want to know, okay, so I understand the trend. I understand we were kind of going up, peaking, and then going down, which is good. But you would like to understand, okay, what were contributing factors, or who actually made this chart the way it is? And in order to understand that, you really kind of say, okay, let me drill into all of these sessions. So you click on reported sessions, and this is the distribution. So this is small, but I'm going to zoom it up for you. There are kind of four different charts. First two on the top are coming next. So you can see a distribution by the top sources and by the components. So this is kind of a trivial example, but you can imagine this could be much more servers and more components. So this one is kind of in your face. We understand there is some problem with the outbound routing, so it's a no-brainer. And for the bottom one, you can also see the users being impacted. So it's quite quite interesting to see that that some users are contributing to the problem more than the others. And in instances like this, you would have to ask yourself, why is that? What is so specific about these, I don't know, three top two or three users that are actually causing this problem? Are they maybe doing something that is wrong? They're typing in something that is wrong? So you actually start drilling in and maybe start talking to those users and see. And as soon as you do that, the users are understanding maybe that they have done something wrong. You would see actually the data improving dramatically. And essentially, you are going with the low-hanging fruits approach. You're looking at the top contributors to the problem, and then you try to resolve them. And with that being said, I'm going to hand it over to Jens.
Thank you. Where's the pointer?
Pointer is here, left, right.
Okay. So Sascha has now talked about how we store the data and how you can use the reportings, the monitoring server reports, to have a view into what's going on. What I would like to try to do is go a little bit deeper into helping you investigate potential issues in your environment. And I will exemplify it with audio quality, but you can use exactly the same techniques for video and for application sharing. And if you fall asleep now, you should just wait a few seconds, because the most important thing about the next 30 slides is that the message is we have all the data in our database. It's all about getting access to that data. How easy it is for you, do you need to have to use custom SQL queries? But the main message is the data is there. So whatever people are asking for, or whatever you need to diagnose a problem, we have the data. It's just about getting to it. And now you are welcome to fall asleep if you want. So when we talk about audio quality problems, it's all about the media path in your network. And with this drawing, I have tried to show some of the media path in a typical link environment. So we have some users who can talk to directly to each other peer-to-peer. We have some users who can talk to the AV MCU, so the conferencing server, if they are in a conference. We have the mediation server. People might be calling to PSTN, or people might be dialing in from PSTN. We have Exchange UM. People might be talking to their voicemail, and so on. The key here is that we have different kinds of types of things talking to each other. So we have users talking to each other. We have users talking to server components, and we have server components talking to each other. And they can all do it over different networks. So they can be internal, they can be external, there can be a mix, they can be on wireless, they can be on wired networks. All that is important when you want to investigate audio quality. And all these facts are found in our database. It's just a question of surfacing them. When we started working with, okay, people are not falling asleep, they're just leaving, that's fine. When we start working with some of our largest customers who are using voice as a PBX replacement, my colleague Andrew Schneiderman in the back and I came up with something that we call the call quality methodology. It's probably easier to pronounce if you are a native English speaker, but CQM is what we call it. And it's all about these different three different dimensions. So we have the first dimension is the server plant. So that is the servers that you are running with, so your conferencing server, your mediation servers, and so on. Then it's about the endpoints, so the users actually doing the talking. And then it's the last mile, so it's all about how is the client connected. Is it a wireless call? Is it a wired call inside or outside? And by breaking it up in these different dimensions, that will help you when you investigate these quality issues. So let's look at what we have in the server plant. So the first dimension or sub-dimension is the health of the server. So is the server running as it should? If, for instance, your conferencing server has a lot of packet loss or is using all the CPU to do antivirus scanning, it might have an impact on the audio quality of your conference calls. So we have been developing what we call key health indicators for the server itself, and I believe we will be soon publishing these key health indicators for Link 2010, and later, at a later stage, we will publish them for Link 2013. Those key health indicators will tell you, okay, is your server working or not? Is it the server itself which is the problem? Then, if you move out of the circle, it could be the problem for the servers talking to each other. So if people are dialing into your conference, your mediation server is talking to your conferencing server, the AV-MCU. Maybe that network segment has a problem. At the same time, in the same way, the network problem could be between your mediation server and your PSTN gateway. Or it could be a problem with your PSTN gateway health. So that's the server plant. If we then look at the endpoints, so the PCs and the devices, so which device are they using to perform this audio call? Is it a certified device? Is it just the laptop speaker and microphone? Could it be the PC itself having problem? Is it running antivirus or is it a bad driver in the PC? Could it be a problem with the media path from the PC to the server? If you see that a call where both parties should be internal are using your edge media relay, then you know you have a problem because the optimal path will always be direct. So, and we have seen cases where, for instance, firewalls will prevent these people talking directly to each other and then they will fall back to talk via the edge. So the media path itself could be a problem, the same way as the transport. The best quality will always be on UDP. If you realize that most of your calls are using TCP, something is wrong in your network configuration. And lastly, the last mile, and that's all about is the PC or device wired or is it wireless? That also has an impact on the quality. The way that we have structured the inbox report sort of reflects our call quality methodology. So we have reports about devices where you can see, okay, which devices are performing well, which are not. We have performance about servers. So calls to conferencing servers, calls from conferencing servers, and so on. And then we have the media quality summary reports, which again tells you how are the clients talking to each other, how are the clients talking to the server, and so on. We also have the media quality comparison report, which will tell you, okay, of all my calls on internal wired, how are they compared to all the calls internal wireless, and so on. How are the calls people using VPN? VPN in itself should be a bad thing, so you would also like to see if people are using VPN instead of going directly to the edge. And then we have the call leg media quality report, which is about servers talking to servers. And here the theory is that that should always be a good quality call because servers are or should always be on the internal network and wired. I have not yet seen a server being wireless connected, but you never know, this might be out there. And then we have the location, which is a new one in 2013, where you can see all this per subnet. So you might find out that you have a specific subnet where all users on that subnet gets bad quality. So how do they look those reports? So this is one example from my lab with the device report. You can see all the devices listed there. If you start looking a lot on the device report, you will realize that there is a challenge here because the name of the device is built by the PC or the phone, the mobile phone. And on the PC, the same device can have different names depending on in which USB port it's put in. The name can also be different if it's a localized operating system. So it could be microphone in Danish instead of microphone and something in German. You get the point. So just be aware that that problem is there. So it will be difficult for you, for instance, to answer a question such as, of all my 5 certified devices in my company, which of the devices behaves best or performs best? On my blog, I will give you a reference later, I have tried to create a solution overcoming this problem. And we have used that with some of our largest customers, and it does sort of work, but it's not 100%. But it's a good start. Okay, that was the device report. And the same, we have the reports on server performance. So this is also from my lab, so I have removed the server names. But you can see for the different servers, what type of servers they have, how many calls they have, and if they have had poor or very bad calls. And Sasha talked about green and red. There is also a yellow category for like a warning. Media quality summary report, you can see people calling, for instance, peer-to-peer in the upper section here, or you can see people calling into conferences. And again, here it's divided up into different types of client. And in the end, if we like open this, you will see it depends on the version of the client itself. So is it a CU1 client? Is it an RTM version client? And so on. So again here, as I said, we store all the information. It's just about presenting it to you in the most optimal way. So if you want to look at, for instance, all your CU1, or we shouldn't say CU1, so February community update clients, how are they performing? You will get a list in that report, and you can see it there. You see there are also other types of legs of calls, depending on the media path, as I discussed previously. The media quality comparison report is about wired and wireless calls. And here, in this one, you will see that wired calls seems to behave better than wireless calls, which sort of makes sense. We have worked with customers where it was the opposite. And that was quite interesting. All their wireless calls were better than their wired calls. And the very last report is the mediation server talking to your PSTN gateway. So in this case, I have a mediation server here talking to my PSTN gateway. And I see I have not a very busy lab, but you see the number of calls, and you can click on the blue thing, and you get more details about the calls. Finally, the report regarding subnets. One key thing to know here is before we can present the information about the subnets, you need to have those subnets defined in Link. So they need to be there in the CS network subnet thing, the one you use for either CAC or location information services. If we don't have that information, we can't link the actual IP subnet to a name. Okay, that was what we have for reporting and how you could use those reports to troubleshoot audio quality issues. Now I want to try to go through how you can do a troubleshooting of a specific scenario. So you have some end users reports to the help desk. So one was in a conference and the audio was terrible. That was his report to the help desk. And then the other guy said, I called my wife and her voice was choppy. And somehow that gets down to you, and you need to find out what was the real problem for these calls. So how do you go about doing it? Of course, you have listened to my presentation, so you know that all the data is there. It's just about finding it. So you start by making sure that you get all the information you can from the help desk. So maybe you would like some more information than just the two statements I put in the deck. We have seen customers have great use of having some kind of like script that the help desk people need to use to get information from the people calling in, such that you get exactly what kind of issue it is, the PC, what device were they using, and so on. With that information, you might be able to say, okay, is it one-off issues? Is this just the guy who is always complaining? Or is it really something common If you have five calls, all complain, five reports in a day about people dialing out to PSTN and they get bad quality, there might be a problem with your PSTN gateway somewhere. At least you see, you get the sense that it might not be a one-off problem. The other thing is, start with the inbox monitoring reports, the ones that Sasha and I have just talked about. And if you need more details or need the data presented in another way, you can use either the built-in views we have on the QoE table, or you can use custom queries against the SQL server. With the custom queries, you need to use the SQL Management Studio. I was not an SQL inner join guru before I started this, and I'm not an SQL inner join guru now. But I did what I would recommend you do. I found an example, and I've just used that example all the time for the queries I'm doing. And luckily now we have just posted recently the networking guide, which contains a lot more information about how you do these custom queries. And how you do the inner joins and everything. So it has become easier to use the custom queries. So let's go through what we have of information for these two scenarios we had before, the conferencing and the PSTN. First, use the inbox report called the user activity report, and Sasha talked about that one. With that box, that report, you can get the caller's subnet information, the callee, the guy who was in the other end of the media. You can get the subnet information for both, and you can get the endpoint, so who was called by whom. When you have that information, you might end up trying to build a picture like what I did here. So on the left-hand side, you create a vision or a diagram of your network. It's probably a lot more complicated than my diagram here, but I'm just trying to show you my point here. So you create this diagram of the network, which segments you have and how they are connected. Because the idea is that you, by looking at the session, might and follow the path, the media path through the network, you might actually find the intersection of where the media path that are misbehaving could be found. So in my case, I have the user U5 who was complaining about the conference. So he is up here, and I have the ABMCU, which is down here. So when this guy was in the conference, his media was going through subnet S3, router 3, router 4, router 6, and into the ABMCU. And when the user who called his wife on PSTN, he was user 3, so that went through subnet 2, router 2, router 4, router 5, and then into the mediation server, which is down here. So if you do like that, you end up with the hypothesis in this case that both these media paths are crossing router 4. So maybe there is something wrong with router 4. Again, it's an example of things that you can use the data we have for. I'm not saying that you should go home and create this map of your network and then use this technique to investigate all your calls. But it's an idea of how you can do it. So let's assume for now we think that maybe router 4 has a problem. How do we prove that router 4 is problematic? Because if you as a link person go to the network guy and say, I think your router 4 is problematic, he or she might not accept that fact without evidence. At least that's my experience. These guys need evidence. So let's try to let's try to find some evidence. So the first thing we will go to is the location report, because that will show you us per caller subnet how the calls have been. And as I said, that requires these subnets to be defined in the link database. So this actual screenshot does not relate to, it's not the same names as in my lab, but you get the point. You look at your subnet reports to see if one of your subnets is creating a problem, because it might be that it's not router 4, it might be that it's subnet 3 that is the problem, right? So you want to like go down in the media path and remove elements, variables from the equation to find where the problem is. So I would always start by looking at the subnet report and see if I can see something pointing to the evidence from that report. Then, if that does not show me the problem right away, then I will look at the media quality summary report. Because using that report, you can see for users on the relevant subnets talking to the mediation server and the conferencing server. So that will be PSTN calls with non-bypass, in this case, or UC conferencing sessions. And then you can look at the individual calls by clicking on the numbers here. The problem with this, or the challenge with this report, is that it's not easy to get the subnet out of it, because that's not presented in this report. So what if you need the subnet? Now you're moving away from using the building monitoring report. Now you need to use the SQL Management Studio and some of the built-in views. So these views are actually the views used by the reports themselves. So there is a view called this QoE reports endpoint subnet view, which will give you per caller subnet this information from the QoE database. And you might recall some of the variables that Sasha showed are the same ones that we are looking for in our view. The problem with this particular view is that it's not showing you the callee endpoint, so you can't see if this call was actually to a mediation server or to a conferencing server, and that's what you want for these particular two reports that we have to work with. So here is an example of such a view when you execute the view in SQL Management Studio. So you couldn't use the monitoring server built-in reports. It was hard finding the real view to use, so you are left with doing custom SQL queries for this particular case. So that is what I did. I created a custom query which would show me all audio streams from wired clients to the AV MCU and the mediation servers and base it on subnet. So our theory for this particular two problem was that it was router 4 which had the problem. If that was the case, subnet S2 and S3 should show poor calls per hour hypothesis, and I hope that I have mangled the data in such a way that it proves my point. I think it's the case. You see, in my custom query, I have both packet loss rate and packet loss rate max, and then I have this classified poor call as Sasha talked about, because I wanted to see. Of course, if it's a classified poor call, we know it was bad, but maybe there were some calls just below our condition which were also poor. So, to solve this problem and prove my point to the networking guide, I created this custom query, and I can now use the data from the query to hopefully convince the guy that he needs to look at his router to see if there is a problem or not. I will post the SQL custom query to my blog today or tomorrow. So you have all these custom queries handy. And there is also in the appendix are some things you need to know when doing these custom queries, how they are built.
And you have much more explained in a networking guide that Jens was referring to. So highly recommended reading. It's a longish document, but please download and read.
So that was trying to show you how you can use the data we store to investigate a given problem. So let's assume that we know we have a problem, but we need to do something to get well. How can we do that? When working with our customers and also internally in MSIT, we have come up with this classification of the networks. So we have inside or outside. Are the users on our corporate network or are they outside? Are they on the managed network? So the network where we can impose restrictions, perhaps, QoS, and we can also make sure that the quality is good, or are they on an unmanaged network? Are they, for instance, here in the conference? Are they in a hotel, Starbucks, and so on? And are they using wired or wireless? As I said, most of the cases you will have a worse experience on wireless than wired. And often, for instance, internally, people just bring their laptops into meeting and use the wireless, and you get bad quality, even if there is a wired connection available. So what will we suggest? We suggest that you establish a baseline, and then you use that baseline and see how it trends over time when you fix the problems in your network, if those are the things causing you bad quality. So look at the getting the biggest bang for the buck first. So start with wired server to server, because that's where we would assume we have the best quality. Servers on the internal network, wired, they should just have very good network performance between them. And talk with your users and try to educate them that maybe they should use the wired connection if they are in a conference, and maybe they should come to the meeting room just 1 minute before they start the conference, such that the first 5 minutes are not spent changing devices and connections and all that thing. If you recall back to the first diagram I showed with the different media paths, I have created some custom queries will use those media paths. And by media path, they will just report with the total number of streams, audio streams, using that path on a given day, and how many of those streams were poor. And here the definition of poor is more, is stronger than the classified poor call, because we want to make sure that the network is performing well. So in my definition, it's packet loss less than 0.5% and max packet loss rate 10%, I think. So I have divided the query out depending on which type of endpoint talking to which type of endpoint. So the first one here is the conferencing server talking to the mediation server and so on. And for instance, wired, it's wired AV MCU to mediation server. That's clients, wired clients talking to the conference server or the mediation servers. And the idea is that you run this weekly while you fix your problems, and then hopefully you will see that the poor stream ratios go down. And you can also see where does it make sense to do some work. For instance, maybe I couldn't care less that the wireless P2P problems, that is wireless in both ends, have a problem. Maybe I want to work on the servers to make sure that I can fix the easy thing first and then I can leave the more problematic things till later. What I have done with these queries is I have tried to ensure that the total meets the total of all your calls. Because we have all kinds of strange calls. Maybe if you call the audio chest service, that's a call with established media. And that needs to fall into a bucket here, otherwise it's not shown. So the total won't match. But with my queries, the totals will match. And it's not just something I've dreamt up in my lab at home. We are actually using this process with one of our largest customers. So far with good results. So let's assume you run these queries, then you want to drill down on a problem area to fix, and I've took the wireless streams because we have some good guidance on how to fix wireless problems. So here's a result. You can see here I had just wireless calls per day. Now I want to focus on subnets, so maybe it's only one of my wireless subnets which has a problem. So I can see that using this custom query. And how could I go about fixing my wireless problem? So we have now a white paper about how to deliver real-time communications over Wi-Fi. Strongly recommend reading it. And then we have this networking guide I've been referencing a couple of times. It talks a lot about network planning. It talks about how to fix problems if you have audio quality problems or video quality problems, and he also has this section on how to do these custom queries and some samples. Summary, and we have some time left for questions. I hope that we have filled our objectives. So we have described the purpose of the monitoring service. We have told you about what data it collects and how you can use that data to answer questions about your deployment. We have shown you that you can use the built-in reports, and you can, if that is not sufficient, you can move on to using views or custom queries. One thing, I think the key takeaway is that each one of you should use the monitoring service. Even if you don't want to do custom queries, or maybe not even want to look at the reports, it's nice that the data is there the day you want it, that's for sure. And use it, because it does contain a lot of powerful tools, and the data itself is very powerful when you need to convince people that they might need to fix something. We have some related content, the link to the networking guide, and then the link to my TechNet blog where I post the queries, and then some of the other sessions in the link track, and Sasha and I will both be at the booth throughout the week, and we will also be at Ask the Expert later. So, yeah, please remember to fill out your surveys, and then we have some time for questions.
Indeed.
Anyone have questions? And we also, I don't know, we can repeat the question if anyone has questions. Yes? So the definition of the key health indicators are a number of performance monitor counters. So we are just documenting them in an Excel sheet where we say this is the counter and this is the range that it needs to be in. I don't know that we have a dashboard of that. No, Andrew is not nodding. So, but I think you can use some of the built-in Windows performance monitor tools to show it in a nice way. Or use Excel to present it afterwards.
Do you want to also repeat the question? Repeat the question.
Repeat the question?
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry. It was about how to present the key health indicators, form of reports and stuff. But maybe I think you should try to talk to Andrew at the back. Maybe it would be good to get your feedback on what. Yeah. Yes.
Yes, it's certainly doable. That falls.
Repeat the question.
So repeat the question. Can you create your custom dashboard? Yes, but you wouldn't. So as I was saying, don't support changes to the existing one. But you can certainly create your own set of reports and your own custom dashboard. That's absolutely possible. Go ahead. Correct. So that's the whole idea. I mean, the way you do it is you have a reports that are kind of a visual representation. Then you have a data set, which is essentially a custom query that you would like to create or execute, and data source, which is essentially connection to the specific database.
And one thing we are trying to do is Sasha is trying to get my queries, and then he will try to create reports out of them.
It's a work in progress.
Yes.
It's a prototype at the moment, so.
The other thing is what we have seen with the customers that we are working on is that typically they have already some kind of dashboard that they are using to report on to their management. So they are just taking the queries and presenting the output of the queries, either by creating some stored procedures or using Excel and presenting the Excel data. Yes?
Yeah, so the question was, is there a way for the reports to be sent automatically? So actually, funny enough, we've spoken about that. I've spoken with Andrew about it yesterday. So we've seen one specific customer is doing that in a way that they've created a stored procedure. It's maybe not for everybody, but certainly it's doable. So stored procedure executes the query and then sends the report. The other way to do it, which is, in my opinion, a slicker way, is just to leverage SQL reporting services. They do have that capabilities out of the box. So you go to the web UI of the SQL reporting services, and there is an option you specify. You locate a report that you would like to execute and send a mail to. You go to manage, and it's quite self-explanatory what you have to do. Yeah, I mean, you're concerned about PII, maybe? Some customers, I mean, yes, we are keeping in databases like CPRIs, like telephone numbers and all of that. And some customers are concerned about exposing this data to people like that should not supposed to be seeing this data. And we are calling it PII data. Exactly. Yes. Yes, so at the moment, that is the case, yes. And the way really to control it is through ACLing right now. So when the data lands to the SQL in a SQL tables, they're in clear. Yeah, you would be seeing those. They're not like encrypted or in binary blob. You would be able to see CPRI. So all of that would be.
Do you have any plans to answer?
We have discussed that. I'm not aware of any immediate plans. I believe some partners have been looking at that to solve it as well. But to be honest, if you come to the booth, we can discuss it more. Maybe somebody knows off the top of their head. I just can't recall any specific partner with a solution at the moment. But it's a requirement that typically comes from the financial institutions, from my experience, and I've worked with quite a few. There you go. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that at the end of the media session, the endpoint will be sending the data to the database. So we are experiencing problems to analyze broken calls with hard calls, and we don't find any information.
Okay.
Maybe those elements are not sending anything. So we want
That is correct.
So if the call is
so
is possible that the endpoint doesn't send any information?
No, so that would be a bug. In some scenarios, we will send a mid-call report to the monitoring server. But all the endpoint, including the tangeries and stuff, they should send in the report at the end.
But I think scenario is there is an interruption or the crash of the endpoint. In that case,
okay.
We wouldn't be sending.
No.
You're right. You wouldn't be able to find anything in a SQL. Yeah.
But if the call was dropped, it should still, I mean, if the client is running, it should send the report. If it's the client is crashing, it won't send the report.
Yeah. It depends on the scenario.
So what we have is a scenario where someone performs a call with an Astra telephone, then comes a second call, which would be ignored, and when the second call makes the buy, the call in the Astra server is ended.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to come to the booth as well, so we can talk about it a bit further?
Yes.
We are running actually out of time, and I can see the manager, room manager at the back.
Okay.
Thank you so much for
attending.
Hopefully you found it useful, and see us at the booth.
Yeah.